Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Diane, leading us in worship this morning. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. We're glad that you're here. What a beautiful December day. What is it, 20 more days till Christmas? Is that right? So it's okay if I say Merry Christmas? Well, thank you. Same to you. As we are going through this season, many things going on. Sometimes people watch by the sidelines, or sometimes just people get engaged, and it's wonderful to see people engaged, joy in life together and doing things and just for the joy of the Lord and just praising God. You know, as we watched the float in the parade yesterday, what a joyful time it was to see everybody and to come together and do that. And thank you for the candy that you brought. And I've never seen kids so energetic about handing candy. I bet these people in our city that got four different packets of same candy and information about our church, praise God. And it was wonderful just to see that pulled together for the little children in their costume. And some of them were donkeys and some of them were cows. And they kept saying, eat more chicken and all that kind of stuff. And it was just wonderful. It's just a praise, you know, the Mary and Joseph and baby. Wasn't that beautiful? Just to see that. You know, we see the decor in here, in her presence right now. Doesn't it look a lot like Christmas? But also in her presence right now is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here. And he wants us to be joyful. When we look downtown, you see the pole that was put together and designed, the decor we have here, the light show that we have across the road, praise God, the Chosen movie that's going to be shown, the Juneberry play that's coming up, the Christmas tree back there in the back that still has names on it for kids, of our kids, that you can buy Christmas gifts for, and the 237 Samaritan Purse shoe boxes that you all brought. My, what joy. What joy. And there's going to be a Jesus birthday party at the Fellowship Center in a couple of weeks. And we invite you to come and be a part of it. Pure joy. But you know what? Sometimes when all this stuff is going on and it's busy, and it, not just this time of year, but maybe it's all year, and we're locked up, and all we can do, whether we're doing things or we're watching people doing things, and all we can do is just fuss and cuss and complain. Hello. And we get locked up in that, right? But praise God that our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth as a man, the supreme sacrifice to set us free by the blood he shed for you and me. Amen. So that you and I can experience joy, true joy. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, joy. Matthew 2, beginning of verse 10. Matthew 2. You know the story. I pray that you read it at your home with your family as well. The entire chapter. But in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, very important, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Father in heaven, thank you that you gave the greatest gift of all. And that God, the miracle that can happen because of your greatest gift, that became the supreme sacrifice that shed his blood for the remission of our sins, hung on the cross, despising the shame, and was buried. And just as you had said, he arose from the grave victorious. Praise be to you. That we can have life and have the miracle of salvation. I pray, Lord, that it happens to others this Christmas. For those, God, it's been locked up in the negative part of the world that proclaims to be Christians, may God, you set them free and restore unto them the joy of their salvation. Bless this time, God, as only you can do. Pray that your anointing is here, your presence is here, as we proclaim the words that you had spoken. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When these wise men, when they encountered Jesus, they knew they were in the presence of the Son of God. Kneeling in awe of the Messiah. In the presence of the Son of God, they kneeled in awe of the Messiah. And when they kneeled in the awe of the Messiah, guess what happened? Miracles begin to happen. You see, when we humble ourselves before God and say, I can't, God, but you can. When we surrender ourselves to God and we say, God, I'm not in control, but I want you to be in control. When we do that, miracles begin to happen. Miracles begin to happen in these wise men. These magi, their hearts changed. Their plans changed. Okay? Prior to seeing Jesus and encountering Jesus, the stars and all these other things were very important to these magi. These pagan magis. All this stargazing and all this stuff that they had before was more important than their cell phones is to you. Hello. We can miss our cell phones, but can we miss our Bible? Hang on. These stargazing wise men, they had strict orders from the king to search the Old Testament. They knew briefly about the Old Testament, but the command was, search the Old Testament, search that Old Testament, and you find the Messiah. You find where he is. And then you tell me. Then you tell me where he is so that I can come. Okay? Miracles happen when you study God's Word. Yeah. God used these men's superstitions of stars to draw them to Jesus. This was a star like no other star. Okay? These wise men saw it. And it was like no other that they'd ever seen. And they followed it. And this star pinpointed the exact place where Jesus was. It was actually better than a GPS or MapQuest. Yeah. Y'all ever had a MapQuest or your GPS misdirect you? Took a group of students down to Nashville. I didn't know where I was going. And my GPS says turn left off of this exit. And I did turn left here. And then finally it said, you have arrived. I was like, wow. And our kids were so excited because we were in a subdivision of million-dollar homes. We get to stay there. It's even gated. I'm like, no, that ain't it. Son, be like men today. I went and asked for directions. And they said, yeah, it's the next exit down, but you take a right instead of a left. And it was off. But I want you to know that when these wise men followed the star, God showed them the exact spot, the house, where Jesus was. Herod the king, he meant all this for bad. He meant all this for evil. But God changed it and used it for good. Praise be to him. You see, the king did have knowledge. King Herod had the knowledge of the Messiah king. And he had the knowledge that he would be from the descendant of David. But you see, the King Herod was not a descendant of David. He was not even a full Jew. And he was really not qualified to be the king. So it sounds like to me King Herod was a little insecure. But he was more fearful of somebody taking over. One of King Herod's sons said, "It would be better for me to be a pig than to be his son." As that's how mean he was. That's how mean King Herod was. That's how insecure. As we look at these magi and their visit, Scripture tells us they came into the house. Notice it says house. It didn't say manger. So they were no longer in the stable, right? Y'all agree? Wasn't there. He was in the house. But when they saw him, they fell down and worshipped him. Even though these king magis were different, they obviously looked different than everybody else. They had education more than everybody else. And so when they came to the house, I didn't notice anybody say, "No, you can't come in." They were different. They talked different. They probably had an entourage of people. Some people think there was three, but I think there was more. These guys wouldn't be traveling alone. And as they came, they had this entourage of people, and they looked different, they acted different, they smelled different, they talked different. But yet, they were allowed to go encounter Jesus. There's a story there. We should as well. That regardless of where people are coming from or how they look, talk, smell, act, we should introduce them to Jesus as well. Amen? Okay, good. When they came into the house, they fell down and they worshiped him. After the fact of Jesus growing as a man and shedding his innocent blood and giving his life for you and I, God raised him from the dead. And then he dwelt among thousands of people and they saw him resurrected to heaven. That's when the territorial battle really kicked into high gear. And the preaching of John 3:16 began to happen. That for God so loved the world, that seems to indicate everyone. Amen? That whosoever seems to say everyone still, the Jew, the Gentile, the poor, the rich, whomever, right? So, whether you're from Mountain City, you're from Iran, you're from North Africa, you're from Mexico, you're from Florida, or you're from California, God loves you. Every person, regardless of color, regardless of education, regardless of language, have done things that we are separated from God and we need the Savior. We need the blood shed to cover our sins, so we can have a personal relationship with God Almighty. Regardless of where you're coming from, all people are welcome. Amen? All people should be welcome into the house of God. How's our welcome? How's our worship? How is our worship? When's the last time that you were in the presence of God and you were just in awe of Him? She said, "Holy God, I sense your presence," and you humbly bowed down before him. Has our pride or ego or self-intellect or personal status or traditional ways held us back from falling on our knees and worshiping God? That we worry about the voice of Satan, the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, than listening to the voice of God who says, "Come. Come to me." That voice of Satan, is it louder than God's voice in your life? Folks, it's time to take off the parking brake and let God have His way instead of us having our way. trust God instead of trusting ourselves. He knows the plans He has for us. He loves us. He will never, ever let us down. He will always be with us. He won't forsake us, for He loves us. The enemy's the one that tries to destroy us. Quit listening to him. Listen to God. He loves you. He loves you. So what prevents you from being obedient and kneeling in awe of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all creation, the beginning and the end, the one that you'll stand before one day and give an account for what you have done with Jesus? What's holding you back? Just what excites you? What really excites you? Brings tears to your eyes. Joy into your heart. A Christmas movie? How many of y'all watched Christmas movies so far? I wonder if y'all are like me and Karen. We've been critics. It's a good one, a bad one. That was nice. That was good. Need to change channel. But sometimes we watch those and they bring us to tears. You watch and see how it all unfolds. And God wants to do that with us in this journey that we have. What really excites you? Seeing a child born? Seeing your child born? Seeing your grandchild born? Bring tears to your eyes, joy to your heart when you see one of your children or grandchildren accept Christ as their personal Savior and follow up in baptism? Does that excite you? Does that bring joy to your heart? Does joy come to your heart when you give someone without expecting anything in return? That you give them something and you just watch the joy fill their face? And it's kind of like those kids that's going to receive gifts over there a couple of Wednesdays from each of you. You can watch the joy in their face as they open gifts and the experience. This past week I saw the joy of a bunch of children, and they were coming down the hall, let's just say, a little faster than their leader. And man, they had smiles from ear to ear. And they were just loving being here. Ain't that great? I hope you love being here as well. I hope you're excited when you come. They came down the hall, so I decided I better give them a high five and slow them down just a little bit. Everybody's giving me high five and fist bumps and all that stuff. And the leader finally caught up to him. And I was like, ah, praise God. Bless you. Have a wonderful night. That excitement on those faces. Wouldn't you love to see the faces of 237 kids opening shoeboxes? Think about that. When you get to heaven, there's liable to be a kid come up to you and say, because you gave, I'm here today. Does that bring joy to your heart? It should. There should be an overwhelming joy when we come together and worship the King of Kings, our Savior Jesus Christ. When people bring their gifts and talents to be used of the Lord Jesus, and we, with open hearts, work together for the glory of God and to see the joy that fills this place. You see, these wise men, they had different ways, and they brought very expensive gifts to Jesus, and they laid them at His feet, as so should we. What is speed bumps? What are they for? Slow you down. Folks, let's not be speed bumps and slow people down from the joy of the Lord. Let's move forward and see what our God can do by just trusting in Him. Sometimes I get concerned that are people that neglect coming together to worship Jesus Christ. There's other things, and if other things is not going on, then I'll come and worship. My heart burdens for folks neglecting coming together to worship Jesus Christ. What normally happens when a husband and wife doesn't talk, they don't spend time together, they don't help one another, and they take each other for granted, and they're going opposite directions all the time? Is there real joy in the home, you think? Probably not. And it's probably not going to end up very good unless there's a change. You see, the same thing is with people neglecting to come together to worship. There's a lack of joy that begins to fade away in their soul. How precious. I'm concerned. My heart breaks. My heart even breaks for people that just comes to church and sits, and they're really not. And I don't know who this is, but you just come to church and that's it. You don't experience the joy of God. You're just going through the motion. What really needs to happen? Turn, if you would, to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. David was going through some pretty dramatic happenings in his life because of the sin that he committed. And he repented here. And he began to acknowledge and admit and stand in awe of God and humble himself. When he said these words in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That overwhelming joy. You see what happens when you humble yourselves in awe of God and kneel before Him and acknowledge who you are and who He is and what your need is before Him? Do you see what joy, that exceedingly great joy that takes place? Just as these wise men, when they experienced the presence of God, they fell down and worshiped, and they gave their gifts. They get engaged in what God wanted them to do. You see, the acrostic for joy, most of you know this, but I'll remind you, the acrostic for joy is Jesus first. That's the first letter. Second letter is O, others. And the last one is Y, yourself. Jesus, others, and yourself. When joy is out of order, it's not real joy. When we accept others and are united together to move forward together, it pleases God and joy fills your soul. In fact, joy fills the place where you come to worship and study and praise God. When you're obedient to God and rely on the Holy Spirit in you, then you will have exceedingly great joy. And you can be confident that all things are possible with God. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Because our God gives hope, our God gives love, and our God gives joy that this world can't come close to giving any of us. Amen. A.W. Tozer said this, "The whole outlook of mankind would be changed if we could all believe that we dwell under a friendly sky and that God, through exalted in power and majesty, is eager to be friends with you." He loves you and is eager to talk to you, is eager to give you joy, is eager to give you the gifts and plans that he has for you. God loves you, and he wants you to receive the joy. In fact, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in one. And you one with him, there is power, wonder-working power. That's manifested with a clean heart and a confidence in Christ and a compassion for others. And you're commission-driven to tell other people about what he has done for you. As we're in God's presence right now, he's wanting you to come to him. The greatest miracle of all is the offer of the Holy Spirit drawing you to salvation right now. There's those this morning that has never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Will you accept or will you reject his love? Don't play games with your soul and eternal destiny, please. Those that are playing religion, get your heart right with God. Get in a right relationship with him. Quit playing religion and going through the motions of life. Get saved. Because in his word he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And Jesus said, 'I will plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to have a judgment, and judgment day is coming. Right now, you're one moment closer to that. Are you surrendered and trusting God? The Holy Spirit actively drawing you to ask for forgiveness, to believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and confess him with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, we need to make every day count. Every moment count. Don't take for granted another day. May the joy of the Lord begin in you to be restored today. If you're here and you're a Christian, that joy has been fading. I pray the Holy Spirit's convicting you and drawing you to repent and restore today. Do not miss the joy opportunity. Do not miss the joy opportunity. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Nobody's looking around. We're turning the cameras off. If you're here this morning, you say, "David, I feel God speaking to me. I've never accepted Christ as my personal Savior and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And today I want to confess him as my Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. I want to embarrass you." But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not confident, would you just slip your hand up and right back down just a moment? Pray for me. If you're here and you're lost without Christ, if this was your last day on earth and you stood before God, would he say, "Depart from me"? Or would he say, "Except because of what you did with my Jesus"? You're here this morning and you're lost without Christ, and you'd say, "Pray for me." Would you slip your hand up and right back down? Is there one? You're here this morning and you tell me, before the Lord in his presence right now, "I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, but I've not been obedient and followed him in baptism, and I want to be a candidate for baptism." Would you slip your hand up and right back down? Is there one? "I want to be a candidate to follow in obedience and baptism." Is there one here this morning that says, "I'm a follower of Christ, I've been baptized, I've been walking with the Lord, but my joy has begun to fade. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if that's you, for you, I've got some folks that are going to be coming right now. They're going to be up here. If you need somebody to pray with you, they'll be here. If you need to make a decision, they'll be here for you as well. If you have a burden, would you come? If you need to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, they're here willing to pray with you. There's two men and two women. They're here willing to pray with you about anything that God's placed on your heart. Any decision that you need to make this morning, but today is the day that God's speaking to you. Don't take for granted another day. Almighty God, hear our prayer. I pray that you would continue to speak into the lives of people here this morning, people watching. God, we're here. Today is the day you're drawing us. Bless it, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand, please, for this invitation from the Lord? Heads bowed and eyes closed, and I want to ask you to pray. Are you in awe of God? Are you willing to kneel and worship Him? What's holding you back from making that decision to accept Christ as your Savior today? He's drawing you with His love. Today, will you come? As we pray, will you move forward?